Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, thanks for downloading this week's episode of Real Sports Talk Radio. Check out blogtalkradio.com. You want to be your own podcast radio show host, internet radio show host? Blogtalkradio.com has plans starting as low as $39.99, and you can have your own show, one show a day, every single day, every week. Check it out for as low as $39.99 a month. You can have your own show on blogtalkradio.com. Check it out at blogtalkradio.com, but for now, enjoy the show. All right, welcome to this week's episode of Real Sports Talk Radio. I am your host, Randy Zelli. I'm a guy who is happy the NBA is back. I'm confused about how angry Yankee fans are, and I'm quite excited about the fact that, you know, we're knee-deep in the NFL season. So that's me. That's who I am. But most of all, I'm a sports fan. I'm a sports media person, and I'm happy to be here talking the world of sports. Now, usually I have a one-on-one interview type of feature on the show. You guys know that I love to do this thing where I sit there and I have a one. I feel like I like being, I want to say, like, a great interviewer, one of the, like the Brian Gumbel, where I can sit down and do a good one-on-one interview. Or I was going to say Barbara Walters, but I can't get the hair and the makeup right. You know, I love doing that. I love being the interviewer, being able to sit down and talk one-on-one. It's been about, I think, was not on last week, and I didn't really have what I wanted ready to go. Next week's show's going to be freaking awesome. Not saying this one isn't, because I love who I have on with me. Because every single time she and I talk, we end up just laughing the whole time because I'm mostly an idiot. So with that being said, we have Nicole Monique from That's What She Said Sports. We always end up laughing when we talk. She'll be on just for a second, but I want to remind everybody, check out backsportspage.com for all archive episodes of all of our web shows, whether it's Seth and Sean, Beyond the Benches, the fantasy football show that we have coming up, obviously Real Sports Talk Radio, From the Touchline in Seattle, backsportspage soccer show, all available at blogtalkradio.com, backsportspage.com, and on iTunes. And with that being said, our feature guest is brought to you by NFLShop.com. Guys, NFLShop.com is every need you possibly can want and need. I know I screwed that up. Every want you can possibly have for NFL merchandise, whether it's jerseys, T-shirts, shorts, hats, novelty items with your team's logo on it. Be the ultra fan. Go to NFLShop.com right now and use the keywords backsports. Save a couple bucks. Keep this show free for you every single week. All right, let's invite our good friend Nicole Monique from That's What She Said Sports to the program. Nicole, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Randy. How you doing?
I think you've heard me say more words in a four-minute span than you've had in the 3 years that you've ever known me.
Hey, I can appreciate it. You like to get your talk done. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot easier now that I have someone to talk to. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, look, we're conversing. We're communicating. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
So, one of the main reasons why I wanted you on with me tonight is because I have had some very good co-hosts with this show that has now more developed into that podcast where I sit there, do the brief introduction of the interview, talk about the circumstances of it, play the interview, and then I go to sleep. One of the reasons why I like having you on with me is because you also ask me the questions, and you know that I also love being asked those types of questions. So I just think right now, this is the best time of year for sports fans. Do you agree with me on that?
Definitely. I mean, you have the World Series. The NBA is pretty much what we, I think we're like a week away. You know, the NFL, I believe we're like in week seven. I mean, it's just a good time for sports, period. It's a little bit of everything. You know, I think it's one of those things, too, where also college football is huge right now. So, but I just think it's an exciting time because you get a little taste of everything. For me, I'm a diehard football fan, so I personally can't really get into the NBA right now. I kind of look at it, but I don't get invested in it until after February. But this is definitely a good time. Now, I'm also not huge into baseball until this, I have to be honest with you, until the playoffs and this time of the year. But since the Atlanta Braves have been out of it for a while, I haven't really been taking notice. I think I really like the Cubs story because, you know, you always like a team that seems every year wants it really bad. But other than that, I'm all about football right now, NFL and college.
Yeah, heck yeah. And what's funny is up here, there's not a big cry for college football here in the New York metropolitan area. But Rutgers is hosting Ohio State this week.
Go Rutgers.
Go Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers is hosting Ohio State this week, and I gotta tell you, it's crazy because people are just like, yeah, you know, like, go Rutgers, and you know, I was like, do you even know what Rutgers is?
Right.
That's how the conversation started going. It was like, oh, all right, go Rutgers, go Big R. My friends who play there, you know, okay, great, you know, Westerman and Ray Rice and those guys. All right, so.
Well, Randy, I wanted to just kind of kick off and ask you right off the bat because, you know, I know you're a Giants fan. How are you feeling about the season so far?
Here's my thought.
That was not good. That was quite a pause.
When, anytime Randy starts the sentence with, here's the thing, this is going to be the most long-winded answer, which I don't know if you're really going to get an answer out of. Before I answer your question about the Giants, I'm going to make just a statement about the NFC East, which is just more of an observation, too. It seems like every week this is the hot team of the NFC East. The Cowboys win the first two games of the season in 2-0. The Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC East three in a row. The Giants are going to be the ones that take the NFC East. And now Philly's 3-3, and they dominated the Giants on Monday Night Football. Oh, the Eagles are going to be the class. No, let's be real, okay? Like you just said, week seven of a 16-week season, we are still learning about what a lot of these teams are. Now, to answer your question, to your question about the New York Football Giants, I never seen a team go through so many key injuries and still sort of be there. You know, like at the end of the day, I don't have. I think the most dangerous team in the NFC East, because you really just don't know what they are, and because you don't know what their identity is Philadelphia. That looks like they're going to be, and watching Monday night, you know, there's never seen a game where the losing team, you can honestly say, gave the game away, because that's how I generally felt watching the Giants-Eagles game. I didn't see the Eagles do anything that makes me say, oh, my God, the Eagles are a better team. I watched the Giants' offensive line fold up like an accordion. I watched Eli Manning turn over the ball, and I saw stupid penalties, which gave Philadelphia the game. I watched Sam Bradford play, and, my God, I don't understand why Philly is talking with him about an extension. If I were Philly, I'd be putting him up for sale at a garage sale half price. Because
but basically, what
not,
I'm hearing is the Giants are their own worst enemy.
Right. The Giants
they can't stay out of their way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and if you want, I'll either pull it now or I'll send it to you. Coughlin's press conference transcript from the day after that game, and it was 4.5 paragraphs of just everything that went wrong. So, like, whether it's DeMontre Moore, you know, passer, stupid play on third and long, or, you know, roughing the punter play when they're, you know, on the kickoff that gave them a first down. Stupid penalties, and it was so frustrating to watch that game. And then the offensive line you know, reverting back to the last two seasons' offensive line. You know, Eli, when Eli's running for his life, he's not effective. Up until this past Monday, he was probably enjoying one of the best starts he's had to a season in a very long time. So
every year they're looking to fire Coughlin. And, you know, some years you can say, okay, I get it. And then some years you're like, just leave the man alone. Is this a year where he could actually, you think, get the boot?
Too early to tell.
Okay. So really, everybody needs to calm down.
Yeah, well, I've always said that. I've always said, you know what they say? The people who are screaming the loudest are usually the ones who don't have much to say.
Right.
These people that are sitting there screaming for Tom's job, you don't understand what's going on. I will tell you that the man is in his, you know, he's getting up there in age. I don't want to start saying how old he is, but there's going to be a point where it's going to be time to move on from him. And I know there happens to be a CBS analyst who would be very interested in that job for the New York Giants. If you know who I'm talking about. Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Boy, how did you know?
well, you know, Bill Cowher's got a big mouth, so I can see it.
Yeah. How did you know? Bill said it. Oh, okay. it's one of those things too with the Giants that I have not included you into this conversation that I've had with multiple people, and I would love to get your take on it because I know that you'll beat me up on it a little too.
Okay.
I think that Eli Manning does not get the credit he deserves on how good of a quarterback he is. Now, Monday night does not help my argument, but I will say that you don't have two Super Bowl rings and have 27 comeback victories, which is a top four in the NFL's history, by being a mediocre quarterback.
Right, and it's interesting you said that because for those who listen to my show who know me, I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. So when it comes to, I have a special love for the Mannings, especially with Peyton. But you're right. I do believe that, and I don't know if it's because of the Manning name or it's the success that they've had, but this season in particular, there's been a lot of Eli bashing and Peyton bashing. Now, Eli, I get it, 3-3. But like you said, I also have to look back. Those two Super Bowl rings aren't a fluke. And outside of the interceptions, Eli is a decent quarterback. And when he's on, he's on. You know, it's just like with Peyton. You're 6-0, but every week everybody's like, oh, how can they win with them? They're 6-0. Something is obviously working. So I don't know if it's the Manning name or it's just one of those, some people in the sports media feel like every week – they must have a checklist and say, okay, do we got two things on Eli? Do we got three things on Peyton? Because we got to say something. Even if it doesn't make sense or people won't care, we feel like we have to say something. And I'm with you. I wish people would chill. And if they're winning, let them win. If they do something stupid, by all means, say something. But if you just have to conjure up something, that gets old for me.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'll
get off my Manning soapbox.
Oh, no. I think it's fine. I think it is. This is the part where I think you agree with me because it's a totally different perspective. I think Eli's biggest criticism is that he's not Peyton. And that is the problem in my eyes. I think the biggest problem
he has one more ring than his brother, though.
Right, but it doesn't matter, though, because, Eli is not the one doing commercials. Eli is the one who doesn't get the praise every single week on how great he is. Instead, we're the ones, shucks, Eli. He's the one that people say don't show that much emotion. Not for nothing. Eli Manning is probably, I get beat up every time I say it, but it's really the truth. If you look at it as a whole, again, 27 comeback from behind victories. When the game is on the line and you have one drive down the field to go, you tell me, other than Eli Manning, what quarterbacks you are taking.
You know what I mean? Right off the bat, I would say there's probably Are you talking about today, what five quarterbacks? I would say, and I'm basing on this season, folks, so if you disagree, I get it. But based on the play this season, you're probably going to be surprised, but I would say Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady would be, and I would put Eli in my top five as far as if you need the points and you need somebody to get you down the field, I totally get it.
What about don't look at their whole body of work. I disagree with one name on there. So I want to hear your body of work, total body career, top five here. If you had to put five people in,
as far as quarterbacks from, I mean, not
yeah, like,
just from,
yeah, like
just from
you're all- down in the fourth quarter, you need to score. You're taking your team down the field. Quarterbacks in that situation.
Well, for me, my number one is going to be Joe Montana any day of the week.
Oh, no, I'm talking about active quarterbacks, but just their career.
Active. Okay, my bad. All right, I'm sorry. I'll take off.
Oh, no,
I was going there.
I know you were going there. I was scared that you were going there.
I know, I was excited. I had a little list together. I felt like I was taking a class. I was like, ooh, I'm going to
read
this
class. I was
nervous
about that.
I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Active quarterbacks today, my top five. And not a particular order, I would say again, Cam, Aaron, Tom Brady, though, you know, I feel about him, but bleh. But, I mean, it is what it is. Tom Brady, I would say Peyton, as far as looking at body of work, active. And then I would say, you'd probably be surprised by this. I think Eli would probably be in my top five. Or excuse me, not my top 10. And I'm actually surprised by this one, too. But I would say I'm tossed between Ben and Phillip Rivers to be tied at five.
I'm going to give you my top five. I'm not surprised. The only one I'm really surprised is Cam. But I'll tell you why.
Well, if you saw what Cam did, well, first of all, if you've seen what the Panthers, if you're not a believer, you need to watch the Panthers game. But Cam, to me, I've always believed in him. But I think he really showed out during the beat the Seahawks in Seattle. So that's why I got to put him in there, because he's a stronger quarterback than people give him credit for.
Because of their body of work in the past, here's my top five. Number one,
okay.
not in particular order, but obviously Brady, just because he's Brady. And, you know, he's done it before, even though, I found a little bit of a flaw in Brady. Just because, look, he was out for a year, Castle came in and still almost took that team to the playoffs with 11 wins. Makes
right.
me believe that the system is a little bit better than Brady is.
Right.
So I put Peyton in there because it's, again, body of work.
Right.
You know, we're not just talking playoffs here because I know he struggled in the playoffs. I put Eli in there. I put Roethlisberger in there because he's done it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I also put Drew Brees in there. And you might be wondering why Aaron Rodgers' name right there is because out of 29 attempts of coming back in the fourth quarter, he's only been successful 7 times. He's a little bit of an overrated quarterback. That's just me. It's
okay.
How I feel.
Well, you know what? Thank you for reminding me about Drew, because Drew would be in my top 10 too. So
yeah. And Roethlisberger, I think, you know, we talk about how Eli Manning doesn't get the love. Roethlisberger is often forgotten in these conversations. He's a very good quarterback, and you know they've had success with him, and you know they're going to be better with him, and with that team with Roethlisberger, it's more about the pieces that's around him than it is about
mm-hmm.
him.
Well, the defense always gets the kudos or the top billing. I mean, you know, that's what the Steeler Nation, Steel Curtain. So, you know, they're supposed to have a good defense. So I think that always gets top billing. But I'm with you. I think a lot of people do forget that, you know, Big Ben can do his thing. It's fortunately that he's hurt right now, but I wouldn't count Ben out. So especially if I'm coming
back
from behind.
No, I wouldn't count him either. And
mm-hmm.
and also, like you said before, too, I like Phillip Rivers because Rivers has done it before. But my biggest concern with Cam is because, like, I'm not gonna pretend the stereotypical sayings about, you know, certain quarterbacks, you know, with the Donovan and Michael Vick. And, you know, I like Cam. I think Cam has a better arm than all those guys. I think the sky is the limit for them, for him. I just I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, though. Like, because he doesn't have the weapons around him to be, like Eli has got Odell and you have Victor Cruz when he comes back. Brady's got Edelman and Gronk and those guys.
But see, the one thing I would say about Cam that is different than some of these other quarterbacks, I think Cam, I could put him more into, I could make more of a Tom Brady argument. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times with Brady and the Patriots, they take no names and make them into something, so to speak. So Cam can take these ingredients and work with them. So even though we don't know them, obviously something is working. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the automatic Odell Beckham, but there's somebody he's throwing to and it's working. You know,
yeah.
So I mean,
oh, definitely.
I don't think it's a fluke that they're 5-0, and I still think Cam is young enough to where he's still building his body of work to where, you know, let's have this conversation 3 years from now, and it might be a little different. You might do a little differently.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with that. It's, you know, and it's funny too. I think it's just such a mind blowing. It's mind-blowing now just to see where all these teams are, where they're falling.
Yeah.
It's very, very wide open. And I think the unbeatens, like Carolina beat Seattle. Seattle's offensive line is terrible. People are saying, oh, my God, they're beating Seattle. Well, has anyone watched Seattle this year? Like, that's the thing I'm not really fully understanding. Before we start saying, oh, my God, this and oh, my God, that, take a look at what everybody is doing.
Which really surprised me. I mean, if you look at the last two seasons, I mean, it's not like they lost a lot of people, Randy. So I don't get it. I don't know if that Super Bowl cursed them, or if they're just not gelling, or if the Cam Chancellor thing and then him coming in late, it's not working.
I'll tell you what it is, to be honest with you. They've lost some people in that locker room that have that are significant people, and I always think that's a key thing. You know, their offensive line is terrible. They weren't great last year, but they were able to do what they had to do. They're terrible this year. They're missing pieces. Marshawn Lynch's act is a little tiring now, so they're a little tired of that whole shebang with everything that he does with, you know, I'm just here so I don't get fined routine. Russell Wilson you know how many teams in the league would like to have a good game managing quarterback? Russell Wilson doesn't do anything that's spectacular. He just is a good game manager, and he makes plays when he needs to make plays. He runs when he has to run. He throws the ball. He doesn't do anything too spectacular down the field, throwing the ball. He's a good quarterback. But when you say top five quarterbacks in the NFL, you're not playing Russell Wilson in that conversation.
Right.
So, you know, I think Seattle is starting to come down to earth a little bit. Arizona's coming down to earth a little bit. I was thinking that St. Louis was going to be better than what they are, and sadly they're not. And then you have the San Francisco 49ers, where you just don't know what they are. I was at that game 2 weeks ago against the Giants, and I'm sitting there, and I went by that locker room. I walked in there for 30 seconds, and I saw offensive players arguing with defensive players. My first response is, that's a locker room divided. And eyes don't lie. When you see it, you know what's going on there. So I just think that I just think Seattle might make it in and win that division, but if Arizona can win that division just as easily, and if Seattle doesn't start putting wins together, it's going to be division or bust. No wild card for them.
So, Reed, you had touched on the unbeatens. I'm kind of curious. Let's take the Panthers off the table, and you look at the Patriots, the Bengals, and the Broncos and the Packers, because you pretty much have summed up the Panthers. Out of all of those teams, is there one that you're like, how in the life of me are they unbeaten? Like, it's just this one team, like, you just don't get it? That basically just surprises you, just really shocks you.
Let's do it a different way. Why don't you name the team? Let's go over them, and we'll we'll break them down a little bit.
All right. So in the AFC East, we got the Patriots. They're 5-0.
Patriots are very So I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
No. What were you going to say?
The Patriots are such a well-run organization.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to be they're good. They're a very good team. They're not surprising. I mean, plus, they also haven't had the toughest schedule. Like, they could have just as easily lost that game against the Colts the other night. That was the Colts giving that game away to them.
Right.
Well,
and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder too. They feel like it's us against everybody else in the NFL. So
it pissed everybody off.
It is. But I'm just saying, but playing angry, I mean, you know, when you poke the bear, I can't stand them, but they find a way to win. So I'm not too surprised by them.
No, me either. What is the next team?
The next one would be the AFC North. We've got Cincinnati Bengals that are 6-0.
The Cincinnati Bengals are the team that I don't want to use the word surprised that they're undefeated, but I'm sort of raised my eyebrow because this is a team. You know how there's always one team that starts off undefeated and they end up with like two, three, maybe even four losses, but they stumble into the playoffs. That's what I can see for the Bengals, because it's not how you start; it's how you finish. And they're playing very well, but you start off sort of playing like no one's really hunting for you, and then all of a sudden teams that have nothing to lose, nothing to play for, are going to get up to play you because you're undefeated or you only have one or two losses. The Bengals have never had that experience, and they might have that this year. So that's my only fear for them.
Well, I'm a huge Marvin Lewis fan, and every year I want the Bengals to do good, and every year I want them to make out the first round of playoffs, and every year they disappoint. And the Bengals just remind me of that boyfriend you have where every year you think he's going to propose and he never does. I don't know if this is the year they're going to put the ring on it, but I still just, there's that thing in me, like you just said, I'm just not buying it. Until they make it past the first round of the playoffs, I can't drink the Kool-Aid. Even though I want them to do well, and I'm a big fan of Marvin Lewis, every year they disappoint.
Well, at least they're consistent. I'm going to stand by just exactly how I just said it. You know, there's that one team every year, single year, that by the end of the season everybody gets up to play them. And they're just not used to it. And I think the Bengals is that team this year.
All right. So next we have the AFC West. The Denver Broncos are 6-0. People aren't buying it. The media, for the most part, they're flabbergasted. They don't know how it's happening. They say Peyton is pretty much 75 years old. He's not looking like himself. But again, and we've touched on this earlier, this is a team that has all the ingredients. They have all that you need. Yeah, Peyton doesn't look like himself. Who does at 39 playing in the NFL? But it's working. It'd be interesting to see what happens down the line, but it's definitely working.
I agree. Hey, look, during week four, Denver beat Minnesota, who's been playing very well. They beat them by 3 points. They had some very, very close games. But at the end of the day, you don't need your quarterback to be spectacular. You need him to be able to be, at best, a good game manager. Look, Alex Smith is a decent quarterback. He's an excellent game manager. Do you know how many teams in the league would like to have a quarterback like Alex Smith on their team?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I'm saying? So Peyton Manning, at the age of 40, is not as good as he was, but he's still very,
39.
Very good.
Calm down.
39
so
years
just
old.
Turned 39.
Yeah, 39. That's a true Bronco fan going to defend their boy. Yeah, that's someone who's defending their boy right there.
I'm just saying. All right, so the next team, which I know how you feel about the quarterback, but the NFC North, we got the Green Bay Packers at 6-0.
Okay, so this is a team that's getting way too much credit for their schedule.
Okay.
I'm pulling up their schedule right now. And from what I just saw before, every team that they played is struggling right now. But if you like, if you really look at it, every team that they play. So they started the season off against Chicago. They won 31-23. Chicago's
right.
Not a good team. Then they played week two against Seattle, which we've just talked about, is struggling. Their offensive line is terrible. They're not the same team. Kansas City, who's obviously lost Jamal Charles, but that happened after this game that they played. But they're turning out to be not as strong as a team. I'm wondering if Andy Reid makes it out alive this year. The San Francisco 49ers, we see what they are this year. They're not consistent. They're not the same 49ers team. St. Louis, who's not a good team, and they snuck by San Diego this past week. They barely got by them.
So who do they have to look forward to that can give them some trouble, that can knock them down?
Okay, so this week they have a bye. And then the shiznit hits the fan the next 2 weeks. November 1st, week 8, they have Denver at Denver.
Nice.
And then the following week, they're at Carolina.
Okay, yeah, that's some shiznit coming up. I'm feeling you. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Oh, how quickly she agrees with me.
All right, so then after that, the NFC South, the Carolina Panthers are 5-0. How long can this last, do you think?
Not too much longer. I'll pull up their schedule. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Jacksonville, who they're supposed to beat. Houston, they're supposed to beat. New Orleans, we see what they are. And Tampa, we see what they are. And then they had their bye week, and then they just beat Seattle, who's struggling. So, again, we look at their schedule and look at who they're playing. This week, upcoming week, they have Philadelphia on NBC. Philadelphia is a up-and-down team, as we were discussing before. Then they have Indianapolis. I'm waiting for Indy to get it together. I don't know if they're going to.
Well, you know how I feel about the Colts. Too on you. I could care less.
So those are the undefeated teams.
I think it's just interesting. You know, like Atlanta, I knew it was going to last. Them playing in New Orleans, I knew that was going to be. But it's like I'm really, you know, everybody, I started off the season, I said the Panthers were going to be one in NFC South, and everybody was shocked by that. But it's pretty much the standings look the way I thought it would look but I am surprised that Tampa Bay is actually playing better than New Orleans. So, I'm a little surprised by that one.
Nobody expected New Orleans to be where they are.
No. But you know, I knew it was going to be bad for them because they got rid of a lot of people. I mean, I think the killer, when they got rid of Jimmy Graham, I was like, well, there's their season.
Hey, can I ask you a baseball question?
Sure.
Do you think it was as big as a deal as it was that Don Mattingly left the Dodgers today?
It is. I think it is a big deal, but I also saw the writing on the wall. A lot of people said they were shocked. I don't know why they were shocked, because after they lost, everybody went to Twitter. And when I say everybody, I mean Dodgers fans went to Twitter, and they wanted him out. So I saw the writing on the wall. He'll get another job, but it's just unfortunate that he got fired from this one.
Yeah, I think for some reason, I'm wondering if Girardi is going to make it out of the Yankees, this year as a manager. Like, he's done, obviously their season is done, but meaning that, like, the Steinbrenners don't like losing, and they just haven't had that much success. They did what they did this past season with smoke and mirrors, as far as making it into the playoffs, and that's the truth. You know, the Yankee fans up here admit it. The Yankees got to the playoffs this year with smoke and mirrors, and that's just the way it is.
Is this the year of the Mets? Is the Mets going to win it all?
Well, I don't know, because originally Michael J. Fox and Doc Emmett Brown told me this was the year the Cubbies were supposed to win. So, Like, by the way, I got to ask you, or I have to tell you to do because you know you're a new mommy. You usually when the baby goes to sleep, you're sleeping too. That on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
I saw that.
Oh, you did see it. You did see it. That way, how awesome was that?
I thought it was great. And what's funny is, I was a huge Back to the Future fan, and the fact that they were talking and breaking down everything from 2015, I thought that was awesome. Especially and Huey Lewis in the news. Come on, it's getting better than that.
Yeah, and but the thing was, you know, one thing that really made me sad, old, and out of it, and struggling, Christopher Lloyd was.
I know. Okay, so I thought that was just me. There were some times where I felt like either he forgot his lines or he couldn't remember what was going on. But, you know, he turned 77 today, and I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, and, you know, he was sitting there saying that he would love for them to do another Back to the Future. I think you get, this is a franchise you leave well enough alone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm over remake.
It still holds up. But it still holds up. That's the thing. So, to answer your question about the Mets, as a Yankee fan, I can honestly say I'm happy for Mets fans. They should embrace this. I'm glad they're loving it. They should be enjoying every second of this because I hate to say it like this, and I'm saying this as a spoiled Yankees fan because since I was 14 years old, 1994, the Yankees went on this long run of being very successful. So growing up through that time frame of that's the time, 13, 14 years old, is when you latch on to a team and you become a follower of it. I was very lucky as a Yankee fan because I didn't have that much devastation. And up here
so
in
Randy,
New York,
basically,
we're very...
you know what I just heard? You know what I just heard? You're pretty, but you should have just left it with your pretty and walked away.
you just said,
you're pretty, but, and then go on and on and on.
Well, here's
Mets
the thing
fans everywhere
remember.
Are like, gee, thanks.
Yeah, we're the ugly girl. We're the ugly girl who just finally got a boyfriend.
We understand the Yankees have always been the most popular kid in school, but let the Mets, let them have a minute. So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, too. But before I make that point, let me just make this point. Yankees, we're lucky up here in the metropolitan area. 3 hockey teams, 2 basketball teams, 2 football teams, 2 baseball teams. If you're out in, Kansas City, and the Chiefs are bad, and the Royals are bad, what do you have going on? Sports radio must be depressing.
Not even Kansas City. Let's break it down. If you're in Detroit, Tigers
oh,
suck, and the Pistons suck, and then
the
Lions
suck.
Yeah, you might as well just, we're talking, you're jumping off a building. Because there's nothing else going on.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about that, how spoiled some areas are. If you talk about, for example, L.A., L.A. is a basketball town. Lakers,
right.
Lakers and now the Clippers are starting to pick up a little bit. The Lakers and Clippers own that city. Doesn't matter how good the Dodgers are, it's still, at the end of the day, that's a basketball city.
Well, and then you look at Golden State. They're putting their little star in there too. So.
Yeah, but then you'll look around Miami. Miami, no matter how successful the Miami Heat get, whether it was with or without LeBron, the Dolphins still own that city.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. Dan Marino is still the best quarterback to ever win a championship.
Right. You go to Miami and you're like, is it 1987? Oh, my God, we had Dan Marino. Okay, relax. So, but that's just like here in Atlanta with the Hawks. They're still talking about Dominique Wilkins like he just suited up last week. So.
Yeah, well, it's funny, too. And then this, where was I going to go with that second point? Because, you made the comment with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
I just forgot where my second point was going to go.
That's okay. That's what you get for calling Peyton Manning 40. But
yeah. Hater. real quick, I know it's so early with the NBA. We're in pre season starts up next week. Cleveland finally signs Tristan Thompson.
What was the dollar amount did they finally settle on?
82.
Okay, so I'm glad they didn't give him the full 14 extra he was asking, because that was ridiculous.
Right. It was 5 for 82. I'll be honest with you. This is my problem with the NBA. I spoke to Michelle Roberts, who's the director of the Players Association, and we were having this conversation a little bit. And when I made the following comment, she got a little offended, but I think it's very accurate. I think deep down, everybody knows the seven out of the 30 teams in the league, the seven teams that are competing for a championship, if it's really even seven.
So what about the other teams? What are they doing?
Meaning that it's like if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan or you are a I'm trying to use an example right now. A Boston Celtics fan, a Detroit Pistons fan, what are you doing this season? You know, why are fans going to watch those teams? Cleveland's going to be. Cleveland, Chicago, and Cleveland and Chicago are the class of the East, and then everything else is a toss up. Because not for nothing, as good as the Hawks were last year, and they lost to Mari Carl, but let's not pretend that Mari Carl was the if they're not a high playoff team, that DeMar Carl was the reasoning why. The Hawks started off very good during the first 2 months of the season. They fell into the lull in the middle of the season, and then they had a good ending to their season, and they had a good playoff run. And then when they actually played a really good team, they were swept in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I expect, obviously, I expect Cleveland to be better. Obviously, with Thompson there, they're going to play Mozgov, Thompson, and sometimes play Kevin Love at the three and put LeBron at the two. And Kyrie's back at one point. They are going to run that lineup too. But man, like it irks me when you start hearing people say like stupid things like, "Oh, the Knicks are good enough to make an eighth seed." Yeah, so they can get swept by Cleveland in the first round. Set expectations a little higher.
To kind of go back to what you were saying, with you talking to Michelle Robertson, you talked about the seven teams. To kind of play devil's advocate here, we have to have those other teams. To me, it's no different from the NFL, or if you look at baseball, it's easy to say there's a handful of teams that people realistically we know they're going to the Super Bowl. But I think that's the part of sports that, with hope and with fans, that's what makes it interesting. I'm sure Toronto Raptor fans aren't thinking, "Oh, we're definitely going to dominate the championship," but at least it's still fun to see how close we could get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in that regard, I think everybody knows realistically we're going to have those staple of teams, but then I think sometimes too it could get boring. That's why when you get like a Memphis Grizzlies that could come out of nowhere and kind of be a thorn in somebody's side, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, but also you have to look at it like this too, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, and I'm going to take a shot. Then you have these teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, who had a great season last year, finished above 500. Nobody saw that coming. Jason Kidd did a great job as coach. They're getting Jabari Parker back this year. Bill Ingram from Basketball 24/7, he was in Basketball Insiders, worked for Hoops Hype. He's a nationally based basketball writer. He and I talk all the time. He and I were even actually tweeting with each other the last 2 days. Milwaukee's going to be the team to watch now because you don't know what they're going to be. They're such a young squad, and they have a good young coach in Jason Kidd. They finished sixth last year, and now that they're not seeing it via division, they're seeing it cause a record. Milwaukee could end up the top three seed because you don't know what's going on with Atlanta. You don't know what Chicago's going to be. I saw reports today that Joakim Noah is going to be coming off the bench. I was like,
right.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Like a team like Milwaukee's going to be interesting to watch. Charlotte, who's 6-0 in preseason, who it's addition by subtraction, them losing Lance Stephenson it's going to make them a better team. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of teams to watch. There's going to be a lot of good, entertaining basketball. But when push comes to shove between the two conferences, there is really maybe a total of 6 championship contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other things are going to be just exciting to basketball. Like, if I was a diehard NBA fan and I only had to pick 5 or 6 teams to watch on the NBA ticket, I'd want to watch the Pelicans. I'd want to watch the Bucks. I obviously would like to watch Cleveland because it's must-see TV, even though majority of their games are played on national television anyway. You probably want to watch Oklahoma City because you want to see what Durant and Westbrook are going to do together. And then the other team, I think if you had to pick one more, I think if you had to pick up one more team to watch, just for the sake because you want to see how the drama plays out, you pick Sacramento because you want to see how DeMarcus Cousins, George Karl, and Rajon Rondo is going to work.
Right.
I still think
the other teams make it interesting. I mean, I definitely hear you loud and clear, and I get where you're coming from, but I think sometimes, too, for us, like in the world that we live in, when we watch sports, a lot of times it's different than Joe Schmo who's sitting at home, you know, who is just happy that he can watch his team, and even if they don't break 500, he's just glad he got to watch it. So sometimes I have to pull myself back and remember sometimes watching the game to enjoy it instead of watching it to analyze it.
As someone who's down in Atlanta and who's got to go to many Atlanta games last year, what was it like seeing that team defy expectations?
Well, it was pretty awesome because it was definitely unexpected, and I think what was nice to see is the national attention that the Hawks finally got. I think locally we've always they blow up the Hawks, which of course any home team. But I think the Hawks are starting to feel like people weren't noticing. So I think getting that national attention was nice, and also too it was nice to not have. And nothing to him because I think he's awesome. But it was nice to have the Hawks winning and Dominique Wilkins' name wasn't attached to it. Because for so long his name has been attached to the Hawks doing anything. So, but then I also think we have 5 guys who, we've talked about this before in other shows. They're not stars, so to speak. You know, we don't have a LeBron. We don't have a Westbrook. We don't have a Durant. So these are just kind of, I think that's what made it appealing for people even outside of Atlanta. Look at these 5 guys just doing their thing. Now, can we do it this year? I don't know. That's going to be a thing that's going to be interesting. Can we be consistent? But I think having that kind of 5 regular guys and with no star and getting the national attention was awesome. That everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid, let's put it like that.
Yeah. See, and now I'm going to throw a different perspective at that. An expectation of what we were talking about, certain cities that are known for their sports. New York is as much as the Giants has had success and the Jets' lack of success is always a story. The Yankees being a legendary franchise and the Mets struggling. You know, the Knicks, on the other hand, so much attention because they say, New York is a basketball city, but the team hasn't had success in so long that people watch the Knicks because they want to watch a train wreck. So, people ask if Pete, now, this is me, again, my show, so I'm allowed to pat myself on the back in this situation. And if you go back and listen to past broadcasts of this program and you hear me talk about the Knicks, you know that I was 100% on the money when I said, and I'm going to share a quick story with you about this. ESPN New York is the best New York radio station up here for sports. Some argue WFAN. I'm just not a fan of Mike Francesa, so he comes off very overbearing to me. But so ESPN radio is the big thing, and one of the local announcers, Don LaGreca, who I consider a friend, Don had his little softball game here at Hawthorne, like he does every single year, and Ryan Rucco was there. Ryan does broadcast for ESPN, and so on and so forth. So we were all sitting there talking, and Larry Hardesty comes over. And Larry's known for being not only a diehard Knicks fan, but he does the Knicks pre- and post-game show. And going into last season, we were talking about the season and talking about where the teams were going to end up. And, you know, I told them my top eight, and he says, where's the Knicks in this mess? I said to him, not in the playoffs. He says, well, how are they not in the playoffs? I said, because I think that this is a season removed from them being in the second round against, Nicole, quickly remind me. The Knicks didn't make the playoffs the last two seasons, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I want to make sure, because it was two seasons ago where they played Indiana and lost. Then the following season they didn't make the playoffs, and then this past season they didn't make the playoffs. I just want to verify that, because he asked me going into last season if I thought you know the Knicks were going to make the playoffs, and I said no, I don't think so, just because they didn't do much to improve the team, and I wasn't sure whether Carmelo can play in the triangle, and I don't look at Carmelo Anthony as the guy who's going to lead the team to a championship. And he got really, 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 really offended. And so did a lot of people around me when I was saying this. But I actually felt that Brooklyn was a better team than New York, which I was 100% on the money with. All of a sudden, New York has the worst season in team history, and I'm looking at it like I'm the bad guy, like I was the big bully picking on the 8-year-old in the playground. So from a different perspective, a team that's being constantly looked at because of negative, and they want positive four, but it's just constantly negative, it turns into a cluster, you know what. And I don't see any good coming for that franchise anytime soon. You're outside the New York market. What is your view of the Knicks?
I don't have a view of the Knicks. I mean, when I think of the Knicks, I think of Patrick Ewing. So, I think Carmelo Anthony should have went to another team when he had the opportunity. I don't think he has the heart of like a LeBron or even a Dwayne Wade to win a championship. You know, he took the money. He's that guy who took the money. So, you know what? You're stuck. So I see the Knicks as just a team that happens to be playing. I don't get excited about it one way or the other.
Okay, no, that's fair. And here's a couple questions for you too. And you and I have gone into this on your show, which, by the way, that's what she said. Sports. That's what she said. .com. That's what she said. Sports. .com. TWSSS. .com. She's on Twitter. She's pretty much doing the DIY to the effect with her business. That's what she said. Sports. We talked about this topic on your show. I wanted to see, now that you were on Atlanta radio for a little while and you pulled back from it. You've done your own podcast before, and now you're back doing that. I want to ask your opinion on the media, the sports media as a whole. Mm-hmm. What is your perception being, because I think you and I both put ourselves in that class of, yes, we are members of the media because we're performing, doing radio shows, because we're slightly entertainers and slightly informers by doing this. But we're also members of the media, but we're not knee deep into the media the way they
exactly
are. We're not the ones breaking news. So how is your perception when you were doing regular radio and some of the stuff that you've been doing, what is your perception now of, A, being a member of the media, and B, what you see from the media?
Well, it's interesting because for the longest, I think I had to fight that. I would talk about the media, and the people remind me, like, oh, remember you're the media too? But for whatever reason, I feel like I'm different. So when I look at, like, sports media, I'm looking at, like, the traditionalists, so to speak. You know, you're looking at your ESPNs, your Fox, NBC Sports. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of looking at the same people. That's gotten old. I feel like they're lazy. And when I say that, I'm not saying like they're not doing their jobs. I feel like they take sports fans for granted, and they just kind of been doing the same old thing for so long that it's actually boring. That's why I find what we do in a different part or a different genre as far as sports media, you know, we're a little hungrier. We have to prove ourselves a little bit more. We're all fighting for a seat at the table, or at least to get noticed or have somebody like us literally on Facebook and things like that. We go kind of above and beyond to think outside the box and find ways to make it interesting. Like with your one-on-one interviews, you know, you don't have to have a round table of four guys sitting back and, hey, everybody trying to outdo each other with their sports knowledge. I can just talk to one dude, you know, like your interview with J.B. Smoove. I could talk to one dude and we could talk about everything and then throw some sports in there, and that's interesting. But you're not going to find Brent Musburger doing that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to find maybe the guys at NFL Network doing that. That's what I mean as far as they're lazy. They're doing just enough to satisfy the sports fan, but I think sports fans are being cheated. I think there's some really great bloggers out there, some really awesome podcasts out there that I think if people were to expand their horizons and realize there's more than just a traditionalist, there's a lot more to these athletes and teams than what they're giving you. Hopefully that – does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think you and I have talked about this, and I think I've gone into a little bit of detail, but the thing that bothers me the most is you look, you know, here's an expression that I get asked about whether I ever want to go work for ESPN, and I did some work with ESPN 760 down West Palm Beach, and I use this analogy. I heard this analogy, and now anytime that question gets asked me, I use it, because I heard it from a different story. I'm going to use it. I heard it in a podcast with CM Punk, and people asked him if he would ever want to go back to wrestling to be in the main event of WrestleMania. I use the same analogy of wanting to go back, if I'd ever want to go work with ESPN Radio, especially after seeing the experience that you've had doing Atlanta Radio, because it's the same thing where you have to go out and get your own advertisers. There's not all of a sudden magically there's advertisers there for all the shows. You have to go out and get your own. Let's inform the people and tell them the truth. You know,
right. It's work. You got to work for it.
And also, you know, you and I made the observation, and you never told this to me that this happened, but this was my guess that you felt this way, that you, from a creative standpoint, because, as we only have about 90 seconds left here, that you got stuck in a situation where it creatively stifled you because here you have certain blocks, and you can't really go into deep topics that are not really popular because you want to try and please your audience because you want people to call in
exactly.
And communicate with them. So it's sort of like that thing where you're just like, okay, well, I can't really go that extra mile. So the quick expression that I heard from that podcast was, back in the old day, where screw it, I'm going to go over. People want to hear the rest of that to download the show. The Doors were playing at the Ed Sullivan Theater, and they were playing that song, you know, Take Me, you know, Higher, Higher. You know what song I'm talking about?
The
Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Song, yeah. And so the producers came to them and said, we need you to change the lyrics of the song. It's very sexual. We can't have that. And the Doors like, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Jim Morrison's like, don't worry about it. That's fine. They go out and they sing the song the way it was supposed to be done. You know, they came back. Everyone's pissed with them because they did it. And so it comes back. They're screaming and yelling, blah, blah, blah. You're never going to play the Ed Sullivan Show again. Because back in the day, you went on the Ed Sullivan Show, it was, you became big and famous. So Ed Sullivan goes back and says, you're never going to play on the show again. Jim Morrison says, we just did. We just did play on that show. So you've already accomplished it. So why would you want to go back to do something? It's like going to your high school prom again. It was good. It was fun.
Right.
You don't want to go back.
Right.
You go back to your high school prom. You know what I mean? So, you know, I look at the media. I look at the idea of if you're able to take something and create it and be Picasso and have the fresh canvas to create your own portrait.
Right.
I think
right.
It's better.
And you know, and if I was just right out of college, ESPN did seem fascinating. A lot of those places did seem fascinating. But we've been blessed to have technology, and there's other ways. And I can get my own audience. I don't necessarily need them. So I love that. I love being independent, and I love doing my own thing. And at the end of the day, though, you know, I think a lot of people fail to recognize, you know, I've known people who work there. It's basically corporate America. So you got to look a certain way, you got to dress a certain way. And I've been there, done that in the corporate America world, a.k.a. Shawshank. I'm not going back doing that again. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah, and then not only that, too, but, like, you know, look at the success that you've had. The success that you've had on your own. You've been able to, you know, you down there. You and I both took different paths. I went right to the national. I want to be seen by everybody. This is how I roll, and you know, this is what I'm doing. You started local, and you're still expanding out, and you're coming through that way. You know, my
right.
attitude is if you have the opportunity to do it, you do it, and that's. You know, I'm in a classroom with these kids every Thursday night, and they're just like, they have this they think they're going to have this opportunity to just go out there and take over the world once they're out of there. Because you remember how you were when you got out of college? That's the attitude. You want to go out there and,
right.
you know, and it's not going to happen that way. So I'm there bringing them back to reality and just saying, look, I want to help you. Here's what my return of me helping you. Is look, I'm not familiar how to do this, and this. So if you can sit
right.
here and you can show me how to do this, and this, I'm going to be more in touch with, you know, today's society and today's technology. You're going to be out there understanding what's really going on out there, that the world
right.
is better than there's more than just ESPN. The world is going to be a better place. And not only that, but you're working with me on my stuff with my company. I look like a genius because I might have just discovered the next big thing in media. So
right.
So I'm not that stupid. I'm stupid, but I'm
yeah.
not that stupid.
Right.
And
right.
I was waiting for Nicole to jump in and say, "No, you're not stupid." She agreed with me right away.
Yeah.
This portion of the program is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. Show the person you care about how much you care about them. Guys, it is the NFL season. Show the person in your life how much you appreciate them by letting them by getting them something that they would appreciate for letting you watch football every Sunday. Doesn't matter if it's your wife's sister, your wife or your sister or your mother or your daughter or your mistress, or it could be your wife's sister. And you just get anybody something special from 1-800-Flowers.com. And when you go there, use a promotional code BACKSPORTS. You get kick back a little something to us. And we take a little something off of your bill. Go there, 1-800-Flowers.com. Tell them Randy sent you with keyword BACKSPORTS. Nicole, thanks for coming on tonight. I hope it was fun. You and I don't get to host together that much. Usually sometimes it's like I'll come on your show for a couple minutes here or there. You'll jump on here. We never get to do like a full hour. And I probably think that if we, you know, when you asked me what we were going to talk about, I was just like, we're just going to sort of just shoot the proverbial shit, and that's what we did. And I hope you had as much fun as I do. I think we got to do this a little bit more often.
Oh, I did. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And you know, I always love coming on because it never feels like a sports conversation. It's just good old fashioned. It's just us talking on the phone. I mean, we could just tape our phone calls, and people would get the same thing. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and the problem is with if you tape our phone calls, it's gonna be a lot more funny because. Like when I do these shows, I tend to throw a little bit more professionalism in them, and like I'm usually
right.
not that professional. You know, like the best part about the texting that we did today was, all right, what are we talking about? I'm like, I don't know.
right.
and the thing is though, I know that you like to plan, so that irks you. I know for
That's
a fact
okay.
that irks
it keeps
you.
It keeps me on my toes, so I love it.
Yeah. So. Thank you so much. You know, again, you know, anytime you ever need anything, you let me know and I'll be there. So,
thanks, Randy. I appreciate it.
All right. And thank you for coming on tonight. Guys, check out Real Sports Talk Radio. Every week, we're working on the new Back Sports page scheduling. So we'll have all that stuff sorted out for you next week. Next week's show, give me a good one.
stay tuned. I want to make the official announcement tomorrow. But stay tuned. It'll be a really, really good show next week. So check it out. BackSportsPage.com, Real Sports Talk Radio.